Of our 28 days of prayer and fasting. Amen. Amen. We're glad for that. Good for that. It's been good. The last 21 days have been good. We've prayed. You prayed for yourself, your family, friends, prayed for the church this past week, and now we're praying for the nation and the world beyond. For those of you, again, that don't know anything about that, if you go out in the atrium to your left, you'll see a table, and it has the 28-day prayer and fasting guide. You can pick that up and join us as you desire. And as a part of this time, everything just seemed to be converging at the same time, bringing on possibly Doug here as our worship and outreach pastor, finishing up our second floor, the economic boom that's happening within our community. And now we're in the process of, not just process, but we've come up with a new vision priorities, and new ministry goals. And so if you received your worship guide, I want you to take that insert out. Now, who did not receive a worship guide? Who did not? If you didn't get a worship guide, now he puts their hand out. Did anybody not get a worship guide? Okay, you got one? Okay, I'm sorry, Leanne. I'm sorry. Did y'all come in the side door over there? Okay, all right, we got one. We got that's all we got, okay? It'll cost you. No, back here. Yeah, there you go. Anyway. All right, take that insert out because that's the message, and I want you to keep that and use it as a way of kind of recording your thoughts down. Now, the vision process actually began about this time last year as the Lord began to speak to me about leading us into a new direction. Children of Israel, they were in Egypt, and then they moved to the desert, and then they went into the Jordan Valley, and they moved into this promised land. It wasn't more than just a change in season, it was a change in territory. And I use that analogy just to say that's exactly what's happening here at Willow. We're not just going a little bit different direction, we're actually going into new territory. And so this is an important time in the life of the church. With all the change that's going on, the Lord is saying, move with me ahead into this new direction. And to take us there, we had a vision community, 13 people who stood up and said, yes, I want to help the church develop the vision and the vision priorities, the ministry goals for the church. And I'd like for those people to stand up. It's our staff, our deacons, along with Justin Sheik, Aunt Landra Olson, Bill Winiford, Carly Russell, and Jacob Fielding. Would y'all all stand? Come on, I got to have more than that. Where are the rest? Where's Jacob? I saw Jacob here. Maybe they're at him. Would you show your appreciation to these folks for their work? And so they have now finished their work back in December, and they've transitioned, they've given their work to the Ministry Empowerment Team. And that team consists of David Savage, myself, Cliff Moore, and Bill Winiford. And so what we're doing is we're taking kind of the big, broad strokes that of ministry goals, and we're refining them. And hopefully by the end of March, we will have those things refined in a better sense of practically where the Lord's going to be taking us. These ministry goals come from the vision priorities, as we'll look at in just a moment. They're not just goals that we have, but really emanate from those things. And as we consider kind of where we've been as a church, for about 19, 20 years, our vision has been to build Christ-centered homes. In fact, if you look on the front of the bulletin, you'll see that statement, building Christ-centered homes. There's more to the vision statement than that. But God is now saying it's time to go in a new direction, to take new land. And this message is to lay that vision out for you and to give you an opportunity to respond to it. This is a participatory message. Say that with me. This is a participatory message. See if you spit on anybody in front of you. It is a participatory message, all right? And what that means is this. I don't want you to just listen to it. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you calling me into? In fact, if you would, go ahead and just bow your heads. And I want you to pray. If you feel like this is the place you're a part of, if you've been visiting for a while and you feel like God's leading you here, you pray this prayer as well in your heart. Just pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to do as it pertains to the vision and ministry goals of Willow Drop Baptist Church. Give me a yes in my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's a great day. If you're visiting with us, this is a great day to come. We got Doug here. We got the vision, new vision. So you really get to see things kind of begin on a new level here at our church. So good for you being here. It's the Holy Spirit brought you. if you have ideas, as I'm speaking through this, as the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you about ideas and thoughts and how you can get involved with the ministry goals, I want you to do this, literally, as I'm talking. Send me an email, okay? Just send me an email. Say, Pastor, I think the Lord Spirit's saying this. Do not send me a text, okay? Do not send me a text. Text her for, honey, would you get some milk? I'll see you over here. Text her not for like three paragraph stories, okay? That's just too much, all right? I've got to pass this along to the ministry empowerment team. So if you've got some stuff, then please email me or write it on the blue card or whatever. Because we're going to take those things. I'm not just going to read them. I'm going to take them back to the ministry empowerment team. We're going to say, okay, Lord, what are you saying through the comments and through the insights and through the involvement that's expressed in these cards or emails? So as we look first at the vision of the church, I want you to see the new vision. In fact, read it with me. It's there in your notes. Read it with me. Encounter the life-changing presence of God. Encounter the life-changing presence. And as we think about encountering the life-changing presence of God, so I was working on the message, I had to think about Peter. So we read, if you were doing the 28 days of prayer and fasting, what was the book we read this past week? Anybody know? That's right, 1 Peter. We read 1 Peter together. And if you were to do a character study of Peter, just of Peter, the first 3 years in his ministry with Jesus, what would you say about Peter? If all you knew about Peter were the first 3 years, you'd say, man, it's kind of arrogant. He kind of puts his foot in his mouth. I mean, he's the only guy Jesus looked at and said, get behind me, devil. I mean, goodness gracious. He denied Jesus 3 times. I mean, he made some outlandish statements. He did some great things as well. What would you say? Peter was a rough guy. He had a type A personality. He was driven. I mean, no problem with a type A personality. You're necessarily driven people. But there were some rough edges to him. If that's all you knew about Peter, and then all of a sudden you picked up 1 Peter, you would say to yourself, where did that guy come from? What happened? Well, what happened was 30 years of change is what happened. For 30 years, from AD 30, 33, he was with Jesus, and then around 64, 65, 68, something like that, he wrote 1 and 2 Peter. That, you see, the transformation that happens when a person encounters Jesus. Honestly, if you give Jesus enough time and space in your life, he will change you. Amen? Amen. Give him, in fact, tell somebody, give him enough time and space. Turn to somebody and tell them that. Give him enough time and space. Come on, Chuck, over here. Chuck Pugh, give him enough time and space. Amen. Give him time and space. He will. God will change him. And so that's our desire, to give God time and space to change our lives. Now, the priorities emanate, they come from this vision statement. In other words, encountering the life-changing presence of God happens, first off, when Jesus, in fact, read it with me, it's right there. Jesus is. Okay, let's do that together. Come on, let's participate. Jesus is the center of our lives. Very good. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. You read it if you did your 1 Peter reading. It says this, Jesus is seated in the place of honor next to God, and all angels and authorities and powers accept his authority. He's at the center of everything. Amen? He's at the center of it all. Revelation 7, 17, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Jesus, it says, is at the center of the throne. He's at the center of the throne. And all the world emanates. It revolves around him. Even if you say, well, I've done it in my life, buddy, it will. It will. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. They will. It's going to happen. So let it happen now instead of on the other side of eternity when you're not prepared. Let it happen now. And so that's critical, is that we want Jesus first place in every place. Say that with me. Jesus first place in every place. We're living a holy life, H-O-L-Y, set apart, different. And we're living a holy life, W-H-O-L-L-Y, which is to be, I'm devoted, I'm hot, I'm passionate for him. That holy, holy that I preached on a couple of weeks ago, the last couple of weeks. So Jesus is at the center of our lives. And then kind of flowing from this is the next phrase. Read it with me. We love and accept people. Amen. Aren't you glad that's the way God accepts us? Man, Amen. I'm so glad that's why he accepts it. Now, we may not accept each other that way, but he accepts us that way, just where we are. I mean, sometimes we expect people to act a certain way, do a certain thing, whatever, and we don't accept them that way. I mean, but folks, Willow Dry Baptist Church is a hospital, okay? And hospitals accept people where they are. I mean, can you imagine a hospital, some kid coming in has got a broken nose, the hospital says, we're not going to let you in there until you straighten up your nose. Lady coming in, I'm going to have a baby. You can't have that baby in here. We don't need any of that mess. Here's the ambulance pulls up to the emergency room. There's been a major crash, and they say, we don't have crash victims in here. We don't do that. We don't like blood. We don't like mess. Friend, we're a hospital. Hospitals have all kinds of messes. Amen? All kinds of. They have births, they have broken bones, and they have major disasters they have to deal with. But their purpose is not just to get there and to console people and say, we're so sorry that happened to you. What do hospitals do? Is they help people heal. Amen. They help people get restored. And so that's what we're about, to accept people where they are and to help them get healed up and to experience the love of God, which is the third thing, which is important. And again, the first three kind of flow together. We didn't naturally make that happen. We just feel it's a Holy Spirit kind of thing. Read the third one with me. We provide opportunities for healing and restoration. Amen. Of all thy getting, get the Father's love. Get it. Not just here, but here and throughout your life. Jesus said, John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, he said, abide in my love, remain in my love, stay in my love, be embedded in my love, grow down deep into my love. Let that love be the nest that you find your rest in, that you live in. Live, abide, remain in my love. Let it be grounded in you. Folks, listen, we're going to go for. We want to see salvations. We want to see healings. We want to see deliverances. And those are the things we've seen. We want to see families restored. We want to see people grounded in the Word. We want to see people taking immense risks for God, believing God for the impossible, having great faith. All those things are important. Amen?
Right.
Amen. We're going to go for those things. But of all those things, we would say the most important is to be grounded in the love of God, to know His love, not to just be people who know the Word, but people who are encountering the Word, who really know the Word in a deep way, in the sense of God's heart in a very deep way. And the other thing is, you know, is we've seen this, as people get healed or restored, whatever may happen, sometimes I've had people do this. They say, you know, I want to see God do the great thing in this person's life, and I want God to use me in a great way in this person's life. And God does, and maybe the person gets healed or restored, whatever it is, but they never really saw the love of God. They saw the power of God. Amen? That's good. But if you look at our first prayer bullet point for the 28 days of prayer and fasting for today, is that we're praying that people would not only know the power of God, but they would know the love of God. They would know that love. Have you ever been to a doctor? A doctor who treated your symptoms but didn't really care for your heart? I went to a doctor like that. Let me tell you who it is, okay? I'm not going to do that. I went to a doctor. Some of you say, amen, I know him. I went to that doctor and I thought, well, what's going on? He just went through the symptoms. Well, here's what we need to do, blah, 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 blah. You know, he was right on target, 100% right. And yet it was 100% kind of wrong in the way he treated me. There was no heart. See, what we want people to experience is both the power of God and the love of God, to know both of these things together, because it's that love that truly changes us. The next one, again, is very important, and that is we invest in purposeful relationships. This comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and following. Acts chapter 2, which is a great, great passage on what a church should be. Acts 2. It says, and all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Say to fellowship. To fellowship. And to sharing in meals. Say that, and sharing in, and that's what we're going to do here in about 30 minutes. We're going to do that. We're going to share in a meal together. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And to prayer. And it says, talks about this deep sense of awe. And they met together in one place. There was unity of heart and bodies. And they were together. There was this unity that took place. One of the key experiences of the early church is that they spent time together. When in September, when we did our congregational survey over about 2 or 3 weeks, one of the things that came back from y'all, it was loud and clear from the youngest to the oldest, is they said, "Pastor, we want to spend more time together. We want to build relationships with each other." Now, that may look like an occasional luncheon fellowship type of thing, but it's more than that. It is really life to life, where we are connecting with each other at a deeper level than just, "Hey, it's good to see you Sunday morning. Glad you're here. God bless you. See you next Sunday." That's okay, but we want to go deeper than that. And so we saw that, but there are two things that war against it. Let me tell you, two things in your life that war against it. Number one is brokenness. Your brokenness, it says, "I don't know if I want anybody to really know me. I'm going to hide myself. I don't, because if I expose myself, you may not like me. I'm going to go to the hospital and pretend I'm well when I'm really sick. And the doctor begins asking me questions. Are you sick? Then why are you, if you're not sick, then why are you here? Well, I'm not sure. I just don't feel right. Well, tell me what's going on. Well, I'm not going to tell you that. No, you got to tell me what's going on. No, I'm not going to tell you what's going on. You just figure it out." You see, that's what a lot of us do when we come in here. You just figure it out. Just figure it out. And we ain't going to be able to figure it out. You got to be open. Okay? And that wars against this building relationships. The other thing that wars against building relationships is just busyness. Just stuff happens in life and you just never really connect. And as I kind of look back at my life over the last 10 or 15 years, I mean, it just seems like life has increased so much more. There's just so much going on that it's hard to really connect with people at a deeper level. We're going to work towards that. We say that's a priority, a vision priority. Let's read the next one together. "We disciple people to be grounded in the Word and to walk in their purpose and giftings." Amen. We want people to walk in the fullness of how God's created them. We want them to be grounded in the Bible. Amen? Man, everything else is shifting sand. And Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, he says, when the storm comes, and it's going to come, the man who's built his house upon the what? Upon the rock, it'll stand. And what does Isaiah 40 verse 8 says? You may not know exact verse, but you'll know portions of it. It says this, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God," if you know the rest of it or some of it, say it with me, "stands firm forever." Say forever.
Forever.
How long is forever?
Forever.
There you go. You got it. All right. So we want people to be grounded in the Word. And then the last thing, read it with me again. This is just a great way of summarizing all that's happened in people's lives. Read it with me. "We share the life and hope we have experienced through knowing Jesus Christ and the Word." Amen. The outflow of the preceding vision priorities is that we share the life and hope. Here's the thing. It's true with everybody here. You share your experience. Amen? You share your experience. If it's a good experience or a bad experience, you do share it. And when you've had a life-changing encounter of God, and it's one of these things that where you've seen God change your life over a year, 2 years, I'm telling you, you share that experience. Sometimes it's in words. It's always with your attitude. It's always in how you deal with people. And it's also seen in your actions. But when you have not been encountering the life-changing presence of God, guess what? You share that experience as well. And it's seen in your words, in your attitude, the way you deal with people, and your actions. We always share our experience. And so we want people to have this life-changing encounter with God so that, what they share is uplifting to the Lord. Now, if you would, look at the ministry goals. I'm not going to go through details on all of these. I'll pick out a point or two within each of them. But this is how we want to accomplish the vision priorities, these ministry goals. And again, we painted with a real broad brush. It's going to take us a while. We're not going to be able to do all of these in a year. We hope to accomplish them all within 5 years. That's why we call this the 2020 vision. Some of these things are specific. Some of them are very broad. And this is what I want you to do. You've listened to me thus far. At this point, I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. What is He saying to you about how you can be involved in accomplishing these things? And I, you know, want to hear from you who are our guests as well. This isn't just for our membership, but for those that are guests too. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about? If you look at the very end, in fact, turn over the ministry goals to the very end, what you'll see is this question. What did the Lord speak to you about? What do you feel stirring, being drawn to? And what is one specific thing you can do? So as I'm talking, the Holy Spirit may be talking as well. You begin to write that down. And again, send it to me in an email. So let's begin with the first one. Number one, all of these, listen, the next ones after this one are not in any type of order. But number one is number one. And that is, we want to do everything we can to enhance the Sunday morning experience. We want to do everything that we can to allow the Holy Spirit to come into this place, to work in people's lives through the worship, through the Bible studies, through prayer, altar ministry, whatever, even the offering, in every aspect, the audiovisual ministry, greeters, family, the fellowship time. Do y'all remember, some of you are new, you wouldn't remember this, but the reason we have that big atrium out there, for those that were here 15 years ago, when we decided, actually I guess more like 16 years ago, when we were looking at plans, we said we want a big atrium. Y'all remember why? Do you remember what used to be out there? What was out there, David? It was a big tree and a sidewalk. That's it. Yeah, big old tree. Everybody hated seeing that big tree. But it was just hot. It was just, you literally walked out of here and walked straight into humidity, okay? And nobody wanted to visit with each other because it was just too hot. So we created this space so that we could fellowship. We could talk with one another. And so that's part of why that's there, is so that we could develop fellowship. So we want to even look at how can we deepen fellowship within the Sunday morning experience for people. So that's one area that we have there. Outreach. Again, we have this individual, congregational, and a community and beyond plan that we're going to be looking at. Again, and we want you. What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you about? As far as individuals, we want to do a better job of equipping you. We feel like we've lifted up the value. You understand a little bit of the strategy, but now we want to do a better job of equipping you. As a church, within this community and even beyond, we want to have a larger footprint. We want the kind of the shadow of Willow Drive to be cast way beyond just this campus into our community and even our world. So what does that look like? We have great ministries in our community. Some of you are part of them. We have a number of volunteers in River of Hope, the Interfaith Food Bank, the Gathering Place, True to Life Ministries, Dream Center, and others. We have a number of you have left our church and have helped start Jonathan Sublet's church, Crossover Community Church in Freeport. Great things, just wonderful things. But we want to have a Willow identifiable outreach. And it may be here in the community or even beyond. It may be an annual thing. It may be an ongoing thing. Let me just, you'll understand this when I kind of lift up some ministries that are going on in our community that you can identify with certain churches. For instance, Upward Basketball. Who supports that? First Baptist Lake Jackson. That's their ministry. It's part of their footprint. Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. Who does that? Family Life Church. How many years has Family Life done that? I mean, it's been a long time. It's part of what they're known for, is that big outreach. Servolution. Who does Servolution? Brazos Point. They've been doing that almost since the beginning that they founded that church over 10, 12, 15 years ago, whenever it was. Again, those are identifiable to them. Look, we started, out of this church, started River of Hope, okay? That ministry developed out of us, but it's independent. It's its own. So what's the Lord saying, okay, now, besides River of Hope, what else are you stirring that we can have a footprint within this community or beyond? So we need your prayers on that. The next one, building community. I've already spent some time developing that. Developing intentional relationships. If you look down there it says connection strategy. What we want to do is help people get connected into the life of the church. Now, I know this, and it's true of every church. There's some of you that you come in late, you leave early, and that's the way you want it. And that's fine. We're glad you're here. Amen? I'm glad you're here. But there's some of you that say, you know what? I really want to get connected into the life of the church. Well, we would like to develop this strategy where we can help connect people into not just big church, but also small church, be it in small group, ABF, or whatever it may be. So that's the thing that we want to develop. The key objective there is important. In fact, if you would, go ahead, let's read that together, the key objective here. Everyone linked to a group where they are receiving encouragement, support, and prayer. You know, one of the saddest things, it's true of our church, it's probably true of most churches, is that we'll have people that will come in, ha, 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 but they never connect with anybody. And then something happens in their life where they need encouragement, support, and prayer, and they don't get it from us, and they leave. That happens to us. I guarantee it happens to every church on the block. We don't want that to happen anymore. Okay? We don't want people who come. We have people that come in here that will minister that aren't really involved in a group because the only time they have is just to do that ministry. And things happen and they're not connected and then they drop off because nobody really checked on them. And we don't want that to happen anymore. We want this to be a family. Say a family. A healthy family, okay? Amen. We don't want an unhealthy, dysfunctional family, but we're really connected with each other. The next two, pretty simple there. Mentoring and discipleship. People have said that we want to be mentored, and you can see the various areas there. One of the things we would like to highlight is mentor couples. Within our congregation, we have a number of families, many, many strong families, strong marriages. Some of you have been married 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and you need to pass that on beyond your children into other members here within the congregation. Younger couples who maybe don't have some of the background that you have. And so we'd like to do a little training with you and show you over, you know, maybe 6 months to a year, how you can help mentor this young family along. That's one area. There's also an incredible opportunity for us to grow new leaders within our congregation. Over the last 2 or 3 years, we've seen a number of our leaders who have moved on to other churches, to other places outside of our community and different things, and we bless that. So there's opportunities for growth for some of you who are looking for places to find service, and we want to develop a leadership plan to help develop you. Healing and restoration ministry. As I've already talked about, Willow is a hospital, and so we want to have all types of groups and prayer and help people deal with past hurts and relational healing. And one of the areas that we want to work on is the area of trauma. It is amazing how much trauma will change a person's life. One event in a person's life sometimes can change the trajectory of that person for years. Sometimes it's an event that happens at a moment in a 10-minute period of time, and it's like it sets them for life. Now, most of us, it doesn't, but most of us, there are things in our life, traumatic things in our life that have impacted us. And if you don't work through that stuff, if you don't work through it, then the devil can use it for evil in our lives. So we want to have this restoration of the broken. So as you look at these things, and you look at those questions that then follow, I want you, Doug, Monica, why don't y'all come on up at this time? And I want them, they're going to play a little background music here, and I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. What is He stirring in your heart? What is He speaking to you about? And I'd like for you to write that one thing down. We're going to take about 2 or 3 minutes, and then I'll close out the service. Thank you. Prayer. I kind of feel a little prompting. It may just be me. You didn't want to add anything, Cliff? Or you got something you want to add? Okay. David, if you got anything you want to add as well, I'm asking Cliff, David. I don't think Bill is in here. I think he's out in back, but just as part of the ministry empowerment team.
Just real quick, first, David, myself, Scott, Bill, we're very interested in your input. So please don't hesitate to pull us aside. I was telling Scott, I was talking with Wendy about, you know, what's happening, what's going on, and the Lord has really stirred my heart that we're about to enter a season of reward for those who have been faithful at Willow. That's what he said. You stayed the course.
Amen.
Fantastic things are coming. So be a part, get excited, get energized, and reap in the reward.
Amen. Thank you. Let's stand together. Amen. Amen. So Lord, we lift all this to you. And we acknowledge that unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And Lord, we really believe this is your heart, but we know that it's much bigger than what we could ever capture on paper. There's more to it. We know that. Lord, whatever we have missed that you're saying yes to, even before we see it, I see it with my eyes, we say yes to that as well. Lord, give us... We thank you that you are giving us wisdom. You're giving us revelation. You're giving us everything we need so Willow can be everything you desire. And we thank you, Lord, that your desire is for this church to prosper, for it to grow, for it to be a blessing in the community. And I thank you so much for the heritage of this church and the great impact it's had over the almost 60 years it's been in existence. So I just see a few of our founding members still here today. Lord, I thank you for them, their faithful service, their dedication over the years of giving and being here. And Lord, I pray that this next generation takes on this ownership, that would have that same vision and passion, even greater than what was here when this church got started. Again, we bless you, Lord, for the good work that you're doing among us, and we pray this in your name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're not finished. Hey, it's 12:14. I said we'd been out here in 12:15. So your pastor's a man of his word. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Doug and Monica, they're going to be in the foyer. Doug, Monica, y'all go with me in the foyer. And you can greet them on your way as you're getting the food. I think everything's set up there. Should be fairly self-explanatory. One note, though, I'd encourage, we have about 6 tables upstairs. If you can eat upstairs, if you can get up the stairs, then would you do that? Let's let the downstairs be for those that have small children or senior adults. Come on, don't act like you're a senior adult when you're not, okay? If you can traverse the stairs, then get up there. Let me speak this benediction over you from 1 Thessalonians. Again, 1 Thessalonians is the book we're reading this week, a chapter a day, and it has some great words here at the end as a form of blessing. All right, always be joyful. Turn to somebody and tell them that.
Oh.
Amen. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Now, may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Amen.
Amen. Amen.